Do you know what time of year it is? It's time to sell! Well, hello everybody, this is Mace Haroff, and let me welcome you to the Medical Sales Guru Podcast. Now, if you're listening to this in January of 2017, it is the new year. In fact, this is the first week of the new year, and this is my first podcast of the new year. So, happy new year. Now, however, if you're not listening to this in January of 2017, and it's way later in the year, please disregard everything I just said, but I promise you this. The content that I'm going to talk about, that I'm going to deliver today, is evergreen. It's relevant no matter what time of year you're listening to it. You could be listening to it 20 years from now. How old will you be 20 years from now? Well, I want you to picture yourself 20 years from now at whatever age you will be listening to this, because it is going to be relevant what this is about. But regardless, what I'm going to talk about today has to do with selling effectively and making the type of progress that you want to make in your territory, which is why you're here. If you didn't want to make progress in your territory, you wouldn't be wasting your time with me. I promise you, you're not wasting your time. Let's talk about selling, because again, that's why you're here. That's why I'm here. When you're in a sales call with a customer, and it doesn't matter if your customer's a doctor, a nurse, a healthcare executive, let's just look at them as healthcare professionals. And I will probably use the term doctor because that's who most of the people who listen to me sell to, or who they have the most problems selling to, are doctors. And that's for a lot of reasons, and we'll get into that in a moment. But a lot of times when someone is selling to a doctor, for example, or any other healthcare professional, he or she likes to play it safe. What do I mean by safe? They don't want to do anything that's going to make the customer uncomfortable. Because we all know the importance of relationships in this business. Your customers have to feel good about you, because if they don't feel good about you, they're probably not going to buy from you. So let me try to reframe that a little bit for you. You're not really concerned, or you shouldn't be concerned, with how your customers feel about you. You should be concerned with how your customers feel about the value that you provide. What value do you provide, or what value should you provide? Well, if you're selling healthcare, obviously one of the things you're trying to do in some way is to produce better outcomes. Now, better patient outcomes, if your product or service is something that is applied directly to the patients or affects patients directly. But if not the patient, then you want to produce a better outcome for the provider, for the institution, whoever the specific customer might be. You're trying to make things better. So a lot of times, it's difficult to do that if you don't make your customers uncomfortable. In fact, here's the thing. If we're talking about doctors and doctors are comfortable with whatever product or service they're using, guess what? They're not going to change, are they? Because they're comfortable. It's safe to stay where they are, using what they're using. So what do you do when you have customers like that? Because believe me, both you and I know that you do have customers like that. You have customers who are happy with what they're using, because if they weren't, they'd be trying whatever you offer in a heartbeat. An unhappy customer will look for alternatives if the unhappiness is sufficient and painful enough where they want to actively make the pain go away. And they'll do that by seeking alternatives. So since you have happy customers, there's only one way you could sell to them, and that's you're going to have to challenge them. You're going to have to challenge their assumptions, and you're going to have to help them to realize the things they need to know, and you're going to have to show them the things they don't know. Now, again, this isn't easy when you think about this. It actually isn't that hard, but it isn't easy to do from a comfort level, because very few medical sales reps want to make their customers unhappy. They like to be the nice sales rep, the liked sales rep. They don't want to be the pushy sales rep. And believe me, I'm not talking about being pushy. I'm talking about being effective. So you know that selling to doctors can be intimidating, because doctors know a lot. I mean, they are the experts in their world. You might be the expert on your product. For example, if you sell a pacemaker, you might be the expert on your pacemaker, but your customers are much greater experts. They are true experts in how a pacemaker is used, the particular indications for that pacemaker, when it, you know, all of these things. They're the doctor. They're the expert. That's just the way it is. And that can be very, very intimidating. And as a result of their level of expertise, a lot of doctors, a lot of healthcare professionals, they don't like to be challenged, especially by a sales rep, because they don't see sales reps at the same level of academic knowledge, skills, experience as they have. So it's like, man, who the hell are you to tell me what to do? And that's where being a good sales rep is very, very important, because a good sales rep would never, ever have a doctor saying that to him or her, because a good sales rep would never tell a doctor or other healthcare professional what to do. They know how to sell. They know how to ask questions. They know how to use the sales process to convey a message. So let's talk about challenging customers. And when you do that, for example, if you ask a customer why he does a particular procedure a certain way or uses a certain product, you'll tend to get the same answers most of the time. They'll say something like, well, this is the way I learned to do it in residency. I was trained at a top institution, and this is the way I learned it. Or they might say, well, you know, I'm sorry, but the hospital decides what system I use. Could be an implant system, could be any type of surgical system you think of, or treatment modality. The hospital decides, they're the buyer, they pay for it. I just got to use what they have on the shelf or in the operating room or intensive care, whatever the case may be. It's an excuse. What the doctors are saying, I don't have any say in this. Or you may hear the customer say, hey, look, you know, I'm getting acceptable results. And when you're getting an acceptable result in medicine, you should quit while you're ahead. And a lot of doctors believe that. In other words, if it's working, don't mess with it. You may have heard the story I've told previously about a surgeon I called on that when I was trying to show him or suggest to him that there was a better way of doing a procedure that he did, he said to me this statement, and I quote, "The enemy of good is better." And when he said that, I said, what does that mean? He said, the enemy of good is better. If your goal is to look for better when you have something that's good, then you're putting the good at risk, and your good could go bad, something along those lines. And this was kind of a weird surgeon who, by the way, when he said this to me, he was picking fleas off of his German Shepherd with a hemostat. I'm not making that up. I called on him in his house to show him a particular system. He wanted to see it for a surgery he had coming up, and he was actually picking fleas off a German Shepherd. So I don't know how seriously I should consider the wisdom of someone who, instead of using flea dip, chose to pick them off one at a time. But maybe he enjoyed that. Maybe I shouldn't deny him his pleasure. But nevertheless, that will be a push-off that you may hear from your customers. Look, I'm getting acceptable results. So what do you do in that situation? Well, they're not really open to considering doing something different. In other words, using your product, unless they have a reason. So your job isn't to sell a product. Your job is to give your prospects and customers a reason to consider doing or using something different. Does that make sense? It should, because if you can't do that, you lose. They're not going to give your product a try. And if you do this, if you want to give them a reason for doing something different to get them to think differently, it's going to be uncomfortable for both of you. It's uncomfortable to make an educated healthcare expert like a doctor uncomfortable. That's going to make you uncomfortable. It's going to make him or her uncomfortable. But it's good. It's good because if you're comfortable completely anytime You're doing your job as a medical sales professional. You're not pushing the boundaries hard enough, and you stay comfortable, then you're not going to break into new ground. And that's what you have to do to convert business. So it's important that you start to embrace being a little uncomfortable, maybe a lot uncomfortable. It depends on who you are. But here's the other thing. If the customer is comfortable, then he or she is going to keep doing whatever they're doing because it's easy and it's safe. I just said that again, but it's important that you remember it. Healthcare customers will always do what's easy and safe. Not all of them. Sometimes they're willing to go outside the boundaries of comfort if there is the potential for it to yield a better result, a better outcome. And that's where you come in. Now, if you start talking about these things with your customers, if you look for ways to make them uncomfortable, what happens if the customer gets a little angry or says that, well, you know, you're being a little pushy, you? First, don't be pushy. If you know how to sell, in other words, ask good questions, handle objections, ask for the business, and you've earned the right to do all of this, then your customers won't get angry, at least not too angry. And if you do say something that pisses them off, well, you just back off and apologize. It's no big deal. If you have a relationship with them and you apologize, they'll forgive you. And did you ever hear the saying that it's easier to get forgiveness than it is to get permission? Remember that saying. Keep it in mind. Let me put this in perspective for you. I'm going to share a little story for you. Back in my active selling days, I was selling a bone graft substitute, a biologic, and I was talking to a surgeon, a very difficult surgeon, and I really didn't like this guy. I mean, he was a thorn in my side. He was definitely a know-it-all. And anytime I talked to him, he always felt the need to try and belittle me or show me how little I knew. So anyway, I'm talking about the bone graft substitute. And, you know, he says that autograft, in other words, bone graft that's harvested from the patient, is the gold standard, and he uses the gold standard. Now, I got to tell you, this was really hard to argue with because autograft had been the gold standard, the accepted way of bone grafting for as long as they'd been doing bone grafting. Except here was the problem. Patients who had bone grafts, autograft, where they would take bone out of their pelvis, frequently had more pain from the graft site in their pelvis than at the operative site. They were very unhappy and it hurt. So I started asking this surgeon a lot of questions and I said, well, you know, what if the results with using this biologic were as good or almost as good and it avoided the complications associated with harvesting bone from the patient? Where would that fit into the equation for you, doctor? And he went off on a tirade. He started saying things like, you know, look, I don't experiment with patients. I only use what I know works. And I know that using autograft works. So you coming in here and trying to tell me that I should use your product, which I wasn't doing. I was suggesting that he consider it. But he said, if you try to suggest that I use your product, you know, it's not going to work. So I asked, I said, Dr. Farinup, let me ask you a question. You're thinking that you don't want to use it because you're concerned it wouldn't work. Why wouldn't it work? I mean, it has everything needed to grow bone. And I'm saying that based on the science at that time, the different components that were in there, you know, different minerals, hydroxyapatite, I mean, you know, tricalcium, phosphate, and you added bone marrow. I said, so, you know, look, it has everything in it, including the bone marrow. You're going to aspirate some bone marrow, which is relatively atraumatic compared to taking a chunk of the pelvis out of them. And here's a multi-year, multi-center study that shows that it works as good as autograft. And I handed him a white paper. It wasn't a journal article. It was a white paper. And as I'm going through this and he's, you know, he's kind of shaking his head and kind of snickering a little bit, I realized that I did almost no business with this surgeon. I really didn't like him as a person, which is not a requirement for doing business with customers, by the way, but I really didn't like him. And I figured I had nothing to lose but to see a little bit of his anger. And I was feeling a little bit of anger, so I said, you know what? I'm just going to go for it. And I asked him the question. I said, are you concerned with what your patients might think if they found out that taking bone from their pelvis could have been avoided? I mean, it hurts. Doesn't it hurt, doctor? I mean, I heard that's very painful. Is it painful? And he said, well, it's not that bad. I said, but it's painful, right? Most patients say it's painful. And he says, well, yeah, there's some pain, but they're more concerned with getting a good result at their fracture site and healing. They don't want to have a non-union. And he's going on and on. And I said, let me ask you this. Are you concerned at all? You know, if one of your patients talks to a patient whose surgeon used a biologic instead of autograft, and they say, well, geez, he didn't take any bone from my pelvis. I don't have that pain that you have. You know, how are you going to look if he does that? You know, so he laughed. He laughed because I was pushing him, and I probably, he said, Mace, I've never seen you get like this before. You're always a calm, sensible individual. He said, I'll tell you what, I'll think about it. So not to lose my momentum, I said, great. But the next time you're in the operating room in the middle of the night and you're thinking about it, it won't be there unless you call me or allow me to ask the hospital on your behalf, of course, to stock a few boxes. May I do that? Now, I'm really putting him on the spot again, making him uncomfortable. And believe me, I was a little uncomfortable, but I figured again, you know, I was so far down this rabbit hole, I really had nothing to lose. And he said, fine, leave me some literature, ask the OR if they'll stock a couple of boxes. If they have any questions, call me. So I get two boxes of the stuff on the shelf at a trauma center. And then one night, it was actually several weeks later, but one night I get a call from the operating room that the doctor used both boxes and wanted four more stat. He wanted me to bring them there now. So the long story short, he grew to love the product, used tens of thousands of dollars worth of it that year alone. And none of this would have happened if I liked the guy, probably, because if I liked the guy, I wouldn't have responded to him the way I did. But this happened because I didn't keep my mouth shut. So the takeaway message is that you must be willing to be uncomfortable and make your customers uncomfortable, more importantly, because you will get comfortable making your customers uncomfortable if you do it enough. Go back and listen to that again if that didn't make sense to you. But you can't play it safe with your customers. You can't worry about being the guy or the woman who's got to be liked, because your job is not to be liked. Your job is to show customers that there might be a better way. And if they don't want to listen, you need to make them listen. Professionally and politely, of course, but you need to say what needs to be said, because at the end of the day, you're paid for solving problems. And a lot of times, the only way you could solve problems is by helping your customers to see that problems or potential problems exist. And you won't get that if you're worried about being liked. Hope that was helpful. More importantly, I hope it resonates and you will do something with it. In 2017 and beyond, go out there and make your customers a little uncomfortable. And you might have to be a little uncomfortable for doing it yourself. Maybe it's time to change the conversations you're having with your customers so you can make them a little uncomfortable and sell more and have a better year. And listen, if you want to learn some proven techniques for having better conversations with healthcare professionals so you can get their attention, influence their thinking, and close more business, do yourself a favor and check out Medical Sales Academy at medicalsalesacademy.com. If enrollment is closed when you listen to this, then just enter your name and you'll be notified when it opens again. It's got a 14-day money-back guarantee, no questions asked. If you're not happy within 14 days, we'll give you your money back. And also a sweet deal, no payments or interest for 6 months if you check out with PayPal credit. So check out Medical Sales Academy. It'll make a difference for you this year and beyond. And I want to thank you for being professional enough, for caring enough to take the time to listen to the Medical Sales Guru podcast on this day, whether it's in the new year or far past the new year. Maybe it's 2018 when you're listening to this. Who knows? But that's next year. Let's focus on this year. Have a spectacular year. And the way to have a spectacular year is by having a spectacular day every day that you're out in your territory. And don't forget that whatever you do in that territory, that it's always about the patient. The patient always comes first. Kick ass in 2017. I'll talk to you again on the podcast next week. Until then, good selling. Bye for now.